Life Audio.
The prayer where we can say, and I don't know which personality is better at this, Janet. I don't know, it might be one that this is easier for, but where we can say in the morning, you know, God, oh boy, what I see here today doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But use me anyway. Show me what you have for me today. Show me that I was made on purpose for your purpose. Like, make this all for your glory, even if it doesn't seem very glorifying right now. Hey, friend, Heather Creekmore here. I'm glad you're listening to the Compared To show today. Today may feel like a little bit of a tangent, but I promise you it connects because so many of us struggle with prayer. And as I'll confess as the episode goes on, I've struggled with prayer because I haven't felt like I wanted to do it in the ways that were presented to me. Like, I just couldn't see myself going into a prayer closet for an hour, and I have a hard time following formulas. Well, my friend Janet McHenry just wrote this book called Praying Personalities. I normally don't do book interviews, but I thought Janet's content was really good, really insightful, and really encouraging for those of us who maybe don't know where to get started with adding more prayer to our lives. And friend, if you're struggling with body image issues, you need more prayer in your life. So I really hope today's episode will encourage you, maybe even surprise you a little bit. Hey, we're going to do something in April and May that I've never done before. But because so many of you have said, hey, I can't commit to like 10 meetings for group coaching. I want to do group coaching, but 10, that's kind of a lot, Heather. And trust me, once you get in it, it won't feel like a lot, but I understand. I hear you. So I'm going to offer a special April and May short mini group coaching session. You can find out all about it on the website, improvebodyimage.com. Go to the Body Image Freedom Framework site. You'll still get the online course, but what we'll do is we'll do just 4 group sessions, and then you'll get 7 weeks of access to me where you can Voxer me your questions or your struggles or your challenge when you are trying on clothes in the dressing room and you feel frustrated. You'll still get that kind of access, but we're just going to shorten the time frame. That makes the price hopefully more affordable for you and the time commitment more reasonable for you too. So go check that out. That new group will start the first week of April. Go to improvebodyimage.com. Now let's get to today's show. Welcome to Compared To Who, the podcast to help you make peace with your body so you can savor God's rest and feel His love. If you're tired of fighting body image the world's way, Compared To Who is the show for you. You've likely heard lots of talk about loving your body, but my goal is different. Striving to fall in love with stretch marks and cellulite is a little silly to me. Instead, I want to encourage you and remind you with the truth of Scripture that you are seen, you are known, and you are loved no matter what your size or shape. Here, the pressure is off. If you're looking for real talk, biblical encouragement, and regular reminders that God loves you and you're not alone, you've come to the right place. I hope you enjoy today's show, and hey, tell a friend about it. Janet McHenry, welcome to the Compared To Who podcast.
Thank you for having me, Heather. What a treat this is.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you today because you have blended like one of my absolute favorite topics, which is personality study, with the topic that admittedly I wrestle, which is prayer. I mean, I decided a couple of years ago I was going to write a book on prayer just so it would make me pray more. You know, prayer is so tough for a lot of us. But then after reading your book, I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's just tough for people like me with my personality, or maybe I just do it in a different way. So I am excited about where we're going today. But first, you know, I know you've got a bit of a story related to the things that all the women listening to this podcast struggle with. So I would love to hear just a little bit of that. And then maybe how got to, I know you've written lots and lots of books, but how you got to writing a book on prayer and our personalities, our praying personalities?
Well, years ago, Heather, you know, I was struggling with my health. And I think the worst moment was when I walked out my back door one day and I found myself in a crumpled heap because my knee had given way. So yeah, I knew I needed to do something to get stronger, but I also knew that for some time God had been calling me to a deeper life of prayer. You know, I tried to get up early in the morning and would try to pray then, and I'd find myself asleep or distracted, you know, and it quickly went by the way. So I thought if I got up a little bit earlier in the morning and went walking and prayed while I walked, you know, I could sort of take care of prayer. You know, and but that perspective, and that was a perspective of mindness in my prayers, my kids, my marriage, and my job as a high school English teacher. That kind of that perspective changed one day when I watched a single dad before 6 o'clock in the morning hand over his blanketed baby girl in our little town to the daycare center worker right up on the sidewalk. It was dark outside. I knew he was going to commute to Reno for a good hour. He was going to be away from her for probably 10, 11 hours that day. And it struck me, particularly when she said, "Bye, Daddy, I love you," that there was a reason for prayer. I simply needed to open up my eyes to my community and to begin praying for whatever I saw. So that practice of having mindness in my prayers or sort of pockets of time, you know, and thinking, okay, prayer's done for the day, turned into a prayer walking perspective, which is praying on sight with insight, as Steve Hawthorne would say. And so I just began opening up my eyes and being kind of a praying ministry kind of person for my community here in the Sierra Valley in Northeastern California. So that turned into this whole like Janice says prayer walking is a thing you need to do, right? You know, and isn't that what we do? We hear from our friends like, "Oh, I prayer journal and I write out all my prayers, so you should," or you know, or, "I have this notebook and I keep track of my prayers, so you should," or, "I have a prayer closet and I go there for an hour every day and I think it's great. You should try it." You know, we hear that a lot, right? So we're in this comparison game, even with our praying lives, our spiritual lives, because we think that what we're doing never measures up. And so I had joined that crowd, you know, saying everybody should prayer walk. I even wrote a book about it called Prayer Walk. And then I realized, you know, there was always someone who would come up to me when I spoke who said, "But Janet, I can't walk. What do I do?" So that began kind of a search to go through God's word to see like how actually biblical people prayed. And I found they prayed in so many different ways, in so many different kind of modes and moods. They used different kinds of prayer language, you know, from Genesis all the way to the end of the book in Revelation. And I realized, oh, maybe it has something to do with our God-given personality. And so that's kind of a long story,
Oh, I love it. I
but
love it.
gives you the whole perspective.
Yeah, well, and I tell you, I had to laugh as I was reading through your book because you mentioned a title of a book that I know my parents had, and so I don't know that I ever was asked to read the book, but I knew the title, and the title was "Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour?" And I mean, I remember feeling kind of guilt and shame. Just even thinking about that concept, you know, for a decade or more, just having that in the back of my head, and I hadn't thought of it in a long time. And I saw it in your book, and I was like, "Oh, yes, I know that one." But it is so easy to compare ourselves to other people in the arena of prayer. It is so easy to, I'm going to say this, give up because we don't feel like we're doing it right. You know, like, "Oh, I couldn't give it 1 hour. So why bother?" Or, "I didn't do it the way the church taught me. You know, I didn't follow the format. I didn't, you know, use the list or the journal or whatever. So why bother?"
Or we sit in a small group and we just sit there praying because we're hoping the small group leader doesn't call on us to pray, right? And that has to do with personality too. You know, introverts are going to pray differently. They're going to have a comfort zone that extroverts, you know, don't don't necessarily worry about at all. So I think a lot of it has to do with the person God has made us. And ultimately, I feel as though, as we're thinking about personality studies, the best way to understand who we are is by really reading God's word and having that truth spoken into us. So that's why I kind of dove into those studies of biblical people. And it was so reassuring, so affirming that, oh, maybe I'm not a prayer failure, because I had thought I was, I was not the perfect Christian. I was not the love like the ocean Christian. I was not the joy like a fountain Christian. I was not the peace like the river Christian. I was different than those people in the song, And so I always felt like there's something wrong with me, the way I approach prayer, perhaps other kinds of studies that I do, or even interacted or fellowship with people. God made me who I am. And I think on a daily basis, I have to just settle. I settle into that and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you made me uniquely for your purpose.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So we're actually doing a series on prayer in my church right now. And our small group meets on Sunday evenings to kind of discuss what we talked about. And we've been given kind of a format, the Acts format. It's, been around, the adore, confess. Yeah. What does the T stand for? Goodness gracious, it just left
Thanksgiving.
Me. Thanksgiving, that's it. Adore. So you're gonna know where I'm going with this in just a moment.
Yes.
Adore, confess, Thanksgiving, and seek. And everyone's, a couple of people are sharing, how this is so helpful to them. They love the format. They love following, the format. And I'm quiet. And then finally I'm like, I just can't do it. Stop giving me structure. If you give me structure, I want to rebel.
Yeah.
And so reading your book was so affirming in that way, to recognize that we do have different ways that we do it. So what are some of the differences? Like, can you kind of give us, we need to read the book, but give us a little bit of hint of what are some of the differences?
Well, even if we look at some of those biblical characters, we'll see that some of them are more thinking in nature. They're more rational. They want reasons. Someone like Moses, who argued with God for two chapters of Exodus, right? And even later on, he complains, the people are coming to me and I don't want to live anymore. Why have you given me all these people? That sounds sassy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or someone like Gideon, who's bargaining with God, before he's going to fully trust him. And then we see characters such as Hannah, very emotional, 1 Samuel 1. She can't have a child. She's just going to God in angst and pain. And then the very next chapter after, God has answered her prayer, we see praise and thanksgiving, very emotional. And David as well, all the laments. He wrote half the Psalms. And many of those are laments in nature. But then by usually the end of that Psalm, we see what we call, those of us who teach poetry, we call the turn. We see the turn where he finally puts himself in God's hands and says, I trust you.
Yeah.
Just those are some differences. There are others that are, very devotional in nature, such as, Josiah. King Josiah hears the book of the law for the very first time. And then in the next chapter, that he is reaffirming the covenant. He uses the word to inspire his prayer. And many do that as well. And then Some are perhaps more physical in nature. There's those of us who like to dance, those of us like to raise our hands in church, those of us who, you know, and maybe so some of those are people who fast when they pray, you know, because it intensifies their prayers. People like, we see this in Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and all those different kinds of styles and language and mannerisms in terms of prayer and how we can approach God. You know, God can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
God handles it all. Use those people for great work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, and I've always just loved personality study. You know, I know there's probably more than two camps. There's probably as many camps as there are personalities, but I feel like I've been like one of the people who was like, oh, give me the personality book. Ooh, I want to figure out which one I am. And then there's some people that have the personality who are like, no, don't give me the personality book, please. I don't want to take that chance. But, I've enjoyed personality study over the years and actually even tried to figure out, you know, if there was some connection to like body image and eating issues, if they were somehow, there's some wiring in certain ones of us that made us more mm-hmm. prone to this. And I haven't really had any conclusive results on my anecdotal study there. But I think as it applies to prayer, it's just really fascinating, you know, and really freeing, Janet. So thank you for that. I mean, I did Paul Tripp's book, A Praying Life, which I think was a fantastic book, read it years ago. But he suggests prayer cards. Mm-hmm. And boy, did I use my prayer cards for a solid 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the prayer cards, you know, got moved to a different place while I was cleaning and never to be found again, right? So, you know, there are these ways that certain personalities are kind of prone to be distracted or do their own thing. But it feels to me like the most important point is we need to pray,
mm-hmm.
right? No matter how God wired us.
Right.
Why is prayer important?
Well, the most important reason, and it relates to this idea that prayer is less about answers and more about access. Mm-hmm. You know, people wonder why their prayers don't get answered. Prayer keeps us coming back to the living God. And ultimately what he desires is to have a relationship with us. You know, he invites us. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, he has initiated this conversation that we can just simply jump into and be part of. And I think the more that we go to prayer, we can become more like Jesus, but I call him my personal trainer, become mm-hmm. more like our personal trainer. You know, when you go to a gym, you know, you're working out, you want to feel good and you want to be like your personal trainer. That I want to be more like Jesus. Yeah. He's my personal trainer in prayer and otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Our pastor yesterday was gently preaching around this concept of, and it convicted me a little bit of how some of us, and this kind of ties into your personalities, right? Some of us with a more managerial type personality can turn prayer into a, I'm just checking in to make sure you're doing what I asked you to do, God, like a middle manager kind of thing.
Right.
And that was a little convicting for me. But you know, for me, I've always thought about prayer as like an evidence of humility. You know, I think one of the reasons why I struggle to pray is I think, well, I've got it until I don't got it. Right. And then I got to go to prayer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just being willing to surrender every day and be like, God, I don't got it. I don't got nothing.
Right.
Like, I need you. I need your help. And especially as I think about the women listening who are struggling maybe with food issues, maybe with an eating disorder, you know, definitely with body image issues. If you're listening to this show, you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror and whoo, may not be thrilled with what you see there. But I think starting the day with that surrender is so key, right? The prayer where we can say, and I don't know which personality is better at this, Janet. I don't know, it might be one that this is easier for, but where we can say in the morning, you know, God, oh boy, what I see here today doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But use me anyway. Show me what you have for me today. Show me that I was made on purpose for your purpose. Like, make this all for your glory, even if it doesn't seem very glorifying right now. Any thoughts on that?
I love that perspective, Heather. Ole Halsby was a Norwegian Nazi resistance fighter during World War II. And he wrote this wonderful book called Prayer. And it's the first time I ever read that the idea of putting your hands out, you know, at the beginning of the day and saying, here I am. I'm messed up, God. I'm struggling. But I give you whatever I have. And then to just kind of wait and say, I'm willing to accept whatever you have for me today. And I'm going to walk in that, you know, and I know you've chosen me because otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here, you know, waiting to hear from you.
Yeah.
And so to have that sense of offering, to offer yourself up, but then to receive what he is going to offer you, which is going to be multiple times better than anything that we could give him, right?
Right.
Having that sense of expectancy that he's with you all day long, and that we don't have to stick prayer into a pocket of time. It doesn't necessarily have to be a particular devotional habit, but that there is that sense of, like, I call it prayer walking eyes, because wherever we are, there's a need for prayer. To have that sort of sense that God is with you all day, and that he simply loves being with you.
Yeah. I love that. Well, what else can we expect from this, Janet?
Well, I think in the book, I offer grace and freedom, and to not necessarily feel like you have to have the same kind of praying practice as someone else does, and that there are perhaps four different praying personalities, as I call them. And you mentioned one of these or alluded to it. The first I would call the problem solver. And this is the person who, goes to God, first off, her personality would probably tell her that she can handle everything, that she can bounce all the balls. But at some point she realized, I can't. Mm-hmm. So you're going to God because you see God as the problem solver. And mm-hmm. so you lift those up and, in expectation that God will take care of that. And then that person might really look at prayer walking as something that will particularly work for them. They might want to pray through the Bible. They are probably the logical person to organize a prayer network. This is my praying personality. Uh-huh. I've led the prayer ministries at my church for 18 years now. but what's wonderful is that instead of thinking I can handle this, I now have the perspective that God can handle this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a mental toggle switch that's happened hugely in my life.
Yeah.
Another praying personality is the friend of God. And the friend of God is someone who goes to God in terms of relationship. They see God as their friend. And they are very relational. So a mom at home, maybe her best prayer experience is when all the kids are around. Or she's in the van and she says, Josiah, we got a half hour, on the way to the ball game. You start the prayer. Okay. And then you choose, your sibling who gets to pray next. Right. And so you have this popcorn prayer thing going on in the van. And that's going to be ideal for that friend of God person. And then you have the peace seeker. The peace seeker is more introverted. The peace seeker would be someone who goes to God for the purpose of seeking peace in their own life. They need that. They might be more informal, have informal prayer practices. They might need some jump starts, like a prayer app on the phone, like a book of prayers that helps them, a devotional book that provides some kind of a prayer starter for them. And then there's someone I call the organized prayer, or another name could be the lamenter, someone, the emotionally charged person like the Hannah or the David, But they also tend to have a couple other characteristics, like very creative in orientation. So they might want to express themselves artistically. So maybe they, in fact, are journaling their prayers, or they're journaling prayers in their Bible, and they're making it beautiful somehow. I'm not so good at
Me neither. Don't give me a coloring Bible, please.
Right. But another characteristic of this person is that perhaps that they really are very organized. They want to use that prayer journal. They want to use a notebook. You know, they want to be able to be challenged that way. I call them, the chart prayer, someone who might keep charts on things. So, yeah, those kind of creative kind of expressions, or more disciplined kind of expressions. So, yeah. And in the book, I offer hundreds, literally hundreds. If you identify with a biblical character or a certain one of the eight different personality theories I examine, or spiritual gifts, or any of these generational praying styles, I offer like hundreds of different prayer ideas. If you feel stuck, you could just try something new. And I do, as you mentioned earlier, I think perhaps there are different seasonal ways that we pray given, our lifestyle,
It's true.
life without kids, life with kids, life after kids,
Yeah,
life with
absolutely.
grandkids, life with kids moving back home. It might look differently, and that's going to be all right.
Yeah, that's good. There's grace for that. Yeah, and you mentioned briefly I thought the generational thing that you did was really fascinating. You kind of break down, the boomers are more likely to be comfortable with this, and the Xers with this, and the Gen Z with
Right.
this. And I thought that was really fascinating. So yeah, Gina, I enjoyed this book. I recommend it to anyone listening or watching today because, okay, maybe a couple of you have this mastered, but most of us need some help in the praying department. And I think you just do a great job of offering grace, offering the suggestions, like you mentioned, and kind of maybe liberating us to pray the way we were wired to pray. So I love that. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you.
Compared To Podcast is proud to be part of the Life Audio Network of Christian Podcasts. For more great Christian content, go to lifeaudio.com.
Have you ever felt conflict between your faith and feelings? If so, you're not alone. My name's Carly Mercouyer. I'm a licensed therapist and the host of the Therapy and Theology podcast, where we explore popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. I want to invite you to join me every Thursday as we fearlessly name the complexities of our reality, grow in the awareness of who we are, and rediscover the power and purpose of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. Subscribe today at lifeaudio.com.